Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gabor.io, and I'm here today with Rick Reus, the former director of services at Tech Democracy. Good afternoon in your case, Rick. How are you doing?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thanks for joining us today. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Sure. I started off in the finance business many years ago, more than I'd like to admit. But from the finance business, I morphed into capital equipment and IT services, which is where I've been for the last several years, mainly on the identity and access management side of things and some cybersecurity.
Very good. And identity and access management, that seems to be a growing field right now. Would you agree with that?
I would agree. It's become a known field, if you will. Originally, it wasn't known too well. But things have blown up across the industry, across the world, it's turned out that the only way you can make sure you keep the bad guys out, let the good guys in, is by identity and access management, by having some parameters that identify a person as that particular person.
Yes, and it's actually, that does tie directly in with cybersecurity, which, it's right. Also another, both of these things are growing fields within IT services right now. In general, what was your role in what I call IAM?
Yeah, that's a perfect way. Say the whole thing.
Yeah.
My role was to develop business, to find folks that where it made sense for them to do business with us. So basically, I was looking at mainly the middle part of the U.S. is where I marketed to, where I called on and so forth, and try to find folks where it made sense, depending on what their situation was. Typically, someone who had experienced a recent merger or an acquisition, and they need to combine the identities, the directories where we all sit from both companies into one. And that's what Radiant Logic, that's what Tech Democracy and Radiant Logic did as well.
I see. And I would assume that was more your not your small business, but your medium to large size businesses. Would that be a good way to look at it?
Medium to very large. We're doing Fortune 100 folks, Fortune 5 and up typically.
Oh, wow. And then, when you think about it, it's not hard to find them. You just got to go to downtown Chicago, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's not hard to find them. It's hard to get them to talk with you. That's the hard part. That's sales.
Yes. And then, because I'm sure there's other people similar to yourself that are knocking on their doors, right?
Right. And it's an interesting business because we had partners at Radiant Logic that we both competed with and partnered with.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the situation and the opportunity, it's very unique. Other than a couple, you have pretty good relationships with your partners. And when you're competing, sometimes you end up working together. Just a different animal.
Yes, it is. And I have to believe, and you can tell me, maybe I'm wrong, but once COVID hit, the need for that service became greater because, people used to go into an office and, log in from behind a firewall, right?
Right.
And all of a sudden, everybody was outside that firewall. So did that have a huge impact on your services?
Yes, it's increased quite a bit. And the firewall has basically been replaced, if you will, by identity. Identity can zero in on if that person or that entity has the rights to get into your information. Identity access management, very simply, it keeps the bad guys out and lets the good guys in.
Yes.
It's a technology firewall, if you will. It's not a physical or I don't know what the right word might be, but an electronic firewall. It's not that. Identity is that it lets you know whether, if you see there's a John Smith and a Jay Smith, are they the same person or are they different? And am I supposed to let them in? So based on parameters that identify that person as the right person, things like birth date, things like names, things, different things, typically birth date, location, other identifying factors that separate them from other folks. So you know that one's John Smith and one's not James Smith.
Yes.
That sort of thing.
Yeah. And I have a little bit of, I mean, I don't know it at your level. I have a little experience with this. I mean, do you get into things like if you're in this geofence, this is the role you have. And if you're in this geofence, this is the role you have. Do you get into that type of thing with companies?
Yes. Yes. Because when you combine the directories, like I said, and a simple way of saying it, you keep the bad guys out, let the good guys in. But when I buy a company, when somebody acquires a company or merges with them, they're doing it for a reason, typically a monetary reason. Mm-hmm. And they want to bring those people on and have them do their jobs as quickly as possible, but only their job. You don't want the salespeople from the company you bought looking into the accounting information from the company that bought them. Mm-hmm. So you basically want to make sure the right folks can get into the right information and the wrong ones can't.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, that's actually, to me, that's the next part of identity management is, okay, now that you're in,
what do you get to see? Access to? We know who you are. There's your identity.
Yep.
What are we giving you access to?
Yeah. Come on in. No. Exit over this.
No. Come on in, but stop right here. The hallway stops right here.
Yeah. No.
You know, that's kind of thing.
I mean, and I think that might actually be the more challenging part of it. Would you agree?
As far as what? Making sure.
It's more challenging, the part of what they actually have access to, than the letting them in. Would you agree? Or do you think it's equally?
It kind of goes together to an mm-hmm. extent. But yeah, you can typically more easily identify someone. Mm. But then what they have access to is a little bit more involved. And you typically, the companies we've worked with, you marry it up so that only certain identities have access to certain things. Mm-hmm. I was saying, you don't want, let's say, I don't want my salespeople getting into accounting information. Mm-hmm. I don't want service people getting into, and I'm just using this as examples. Mm-hmm. I don't want service people getting into sales information mm-hmm. or whatever the particular company decides, who's allowed to get into what and why.
Yeah. So from a remote work standpoint, obviously you're working from home right now as a consultant. Did you work from home in previous jobs or did you actually go into an office?
Oh, well, yes and yes, depending on the job. I mean, I work remotely. I've done that for years, probably back in, let me think. Oh, back in the 90s, I started working remotely. I was an early remote worker, if you will.
Yes.
And the companies I was with, that was kind of their MO. Mm-hmm. They were spread out. They didn't have a lot of locations. They wanted people out in the field and without any physical presence, if you will. Mm-hmm. For a while, I worked for Mitsubishi and the headquarters is in Japan, obviously, mm-hmm. Something in New York, but we're all over the country. There were no offices all over the country. Wherever you were at, you were the office.
Mm-hmm. So from your opinion now, especially knowing what you know about, identity and access management, and which it does open up the possibility for people to work remotely or distributed. What do you think is the future of remote work?
I think it's going to expand. Mm-hmm. And I think it can't expand because everybody's working remotely, I guess, but it'll be more of a hybrid, I think, remote and in office, mm-hmm. With leaning to more so the remote side of things. Because what people have found during this unfortunate situation is that people can work and be productive remotely. Mm-hmm. One of my sons is with a company called Equity Residential, which is the largest apartment holder in the country, mm-hmm. one of the biggest in the world. If you remember, you know the guy, Sam Zell, have you heard of that gentleman?
Not a fan.
He bought the Chicago Tribune a few years ago. And anyway, and Equity Residential was part of it. But what they have found at my son's company is their IT folks, especially, have been more productive working remotely mm-hmm. because they don't have to deal with the guy, which I was one of, probably walking mm-hmm. up to the desk and say, "Hey, can you help me out with this? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure this out. I can't get this to work." And they have to stop what they're doing and help the person mm-hmm. because they're not going to blow them off. They're going to try to help them. But remote eliminated a lot of that. So they have found the best majority of their people in IT, if not all, are much more productive remote, where they can manage their business. And they're probably going to, right now, everybody's still hybrid, but they're going to, everybody's still remote, but they're going to start utilizing a hybrid model as things progress.
Yeah, and I'm hearing more and more of that from different people in business that you know, giving people the option of when to come in and when to stay home seems to be the way it's going to be going forward, right?
I would agree. Yeah. I would agree 100%.
And does a hybrid model pose any unique challenges to your particular industry, you know, the IAM industry?
Well, it's the same challenge. Mm-hmm. You got to make sure the right people can get in the right information and the wrong ones can't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually in a hybrid model, it's more important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to zero in because mm-hmm. everybody's all over the place. This day they're in the office, the next day they're up, you know, at home or wherever. And you have to make sure that access is ported out properly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that comes down to defining who the person is and letting them in when they can, when you say they can.
Yes. Yes. So at different hours and all, it's just like a building security, right? The certain right. people can get into the certain places at the certain time. And
right. So it comes down to it at the end of the day.
Yes. And it's amazing how complicated it can be at times, right?
I know you think such a, it should be a simple thing, but it actually, especially these days,
yes,
has become quite involved.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I would agree. At the end of the day, it's really, it's somewhat simple. It comes down to the characteristics of that identity, that person, if you will, what are their characteristics and what are they allowed to get into?
Mm-hmm.
If the person has these characteristics, okay, they can access this. If they only have all but one, no, you can't get in. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. Well, Rick, I want to thank you for your time today. It's been great talking to you. It's always great to talk to people well-versed in security type fields, because I do think it's a real challenge, and it's an up, you know, it's growing and growing by the month, it seems like, right?
Well, yeah, it's not going to go anywhere but up, but mm-hmm. thank you for inviting me, and thank you for letting me share my knowledge with your group. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you. Take care. Same to you.
Bye.
Lots of luck.